Hi everyone, welcome to the Unmissed podcast. Today's guest is Sarah Taher, an internationally recognized SEO strategist, speaker, and consultant with over a decade of experience helping businesses craft powerful, scalable SEO strategies. She's an SEO consultancy and a sought-after mentor, empowering others to master the art and science of search engine optimization. Before we dive into today's discussion, here's some food for thought. According to research by BrightEdge, organic search drives over 50% of website traffic for most industries. Yet many businesses still approach SEO as an isolated tactic rather than a strategic system. Sarah advocates for a mindset shift, emphasizing that a strategic approach to SEO can elevate a brand's online presence while maximizing ROI. I'm your host, Chelsea Alves, and I'm thrilled to welcome Sarah to the podcast. Sarah, hi. Welcome.
Welcome, Chelsea. Thank you for having me today.
Of course. Happy to have you here. To start, can you share your journey into the SEO world and just a little bit about your professional background?
Yeah, so I've been doing SEO for 10 years now. I work both agency side and client side. I worked in a variety of industries and verticals, finance, SaaS, e-commerce. I love contributing to the community. I write and I get on podcasts like this. Thank you for having me again.
Yeah.
I've also recently, end of last year, launched a Python course. I've been also working on an SEO strategy course. So that's that.
Yeah. Sounds like you've been very busy. Yeah. Which is always a good thing. You've been known for championing the importance of a strategic mindset in SEO. Can you break down exactly what that means and why you think it's essential for long-term success?
So I worked in a lot of places, right? And I've worked with a lot of people. And what I see is there's always a checklist, and this is SEO. Like, you get a client, month one, this is what we're gonna do. Month two, month three, and it's pretty standard, right? And that doesn't really work. SEO is not a one-size-fits-all. You have a small website, you have a big website, you have a new website, you have an e-commerce, you have a SaaS, you have a website with strong brand presence and strong authority, and then you have websites that are don't have that type of strong brands, right? Brand name in the search. So there is a lot going on. And I don't think it's possible to just deal with all these websites the same way. I like to call this standardized approach spray and pray, because you're doing everything right in theory, and then you do everything and you wish that something is just going to work out of all of this, and it will work. But here's the thing. It's going to work, but it's going to take longer time versus if you focus on what really matters for this website, right? Based on their business goals, of course. So. There can be a lot of waste, or sometimes because of this generic type of recommendations, you're actually totally missing the mark of what you should actually be doing.
Mm. Could you give an example of maybe a client you've worked with and what they were focusing on and what you kind of recommended and why that worked?
Yeah, so I worked with a SaaS, and one of the things I did is I did an analysis of their content, right? And based off their goals, I decided this part is going to go, this percentage of our work is going to go to top and middle of funnel, or their main focus was actually top and middle of funnel pages. And even the type of pages, listicles or examples or whatever, what's going to work for their website, right? That helped them improve their rankings in to a lot of their main keywords went to the first page and first position as well. And their main keywords, pretty competitive keywords.
That's awesome. Obviously key ranking for, target keywords is really important, but that kind of leads into my next question. Many businesses focus on the quick wins, like ranking for a specific keyword. How does shifting to a broader strategic perspective, really elevate and change the game?
I don't see a contradiction. Quick wins can be part of your strategy, right? Like, you can start your strategy. So strategic thinking is just beginning with the end in mind, where you want to go, right? And then I like a strategy to be agile, and there is possibility for change. Like, you can make a stop every quarter and review what you're doing, right? To have this sort of a short feedback loop, evaluate what you did. So sure, quick wins can actually be part of your strategy. You can incorporate them. There's no contradiction. It's just when you're doing quick wins, you need to know, why am I prioritizing this? Is it for more traffic? Is a priority to get more traffic right now, or more conversions right away? Or I think most of the time we want to show something to the client as soon as possible. That can also be prioritized in your strategy. It's not either or. It can be part of it.
Yeah, no, I agree with that too. The quick wins are, like, you know, they're still important, but it's important to also, like, go beyond just the quick wins. Thinking through, you know, some of the biggest mistakes that you see businesses making when it comes to SEO, what are some of those, and how can they course correct from those mistakes?
I think something that's fundamental or very common that you see is we have to sort of, sometimes we have to compromise what's good for the client versus what makes them happy right now. Yeah. Pushing back on what the client wants is risky, right? Because you don't want to upset the client. But in the same time, sometimes they're asking for things that's really not going to help them get where they want. So that's one thing. I've spoken with a few business owners. One of the things I know is they also underestimate the value of hiring a good SEO. Sometimes, like, I've literally talked to someone who said, okay, we thought we can just use the output of the tools and, you know, we don't need an SEO anymore. So, yeah. Right. And hiring, looking for the, I mean, it's normal to look for the best deal, yeah, quote unquote, but you get what you pay for. I had a client reach out to me on LinkedIn, and it was really shocking. Like, he came in, hey, this is what I need done. And he has, like, a list of items, list of specific checks, tech items, content items. This is what I need done. That's what's going to help me. So I pushed back. I said, if you need this type of service, you can go to Fiverr. Just this list is not going to help you. You need someone to look there and see, okay, what's the problem? What really matters? Not just do everything randomly, because a lot of these things may actually be, you're just wasting your time and effort and money as well. And it didn't work out. I like this type of thinking. Like, if you need someone to go through a checklist, you can get a junior SEO and it's going to be fine.
Yeah, no, I think that's so good to, you know, push back, because some clients obviously don't, I feel like they don't realize, like, you're hiring an SEO at, you know, to be that professional guidance and that, you know, provide that expertise, and, like, just reading a blog or a checklist of, like, from an article of, like, what makes SEO better isn't necessarily the best course of action. Like, you have to rely on the expert's opinion and, like, listen to what they have to say in order to see the results that you're seeking.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So SEO, you know, for people, again, just getting started or, like, looking for a consultant like you, they often see it as, like, a purely technical tactic. But I think, you know, and you emphasize the role of creativity in your approach. How can businesses find the right balance between technical and then, like, the creative aspects of SEO?
I think we forget we are basically marketers, and marketing is not math, right? There is a big technical component in our work. But even that, even in the technical work, if you go to a developer, you ask them to, like, one time I worked with a dev, gigantic website. They don't have a sitemap. I wanted a dynamically created sitemap. That was not, technically they just couldn't do it for whatever reason. You need to come up with alternatives. So you need to have this flexibility and curiosity to figure out, okay, what else can we do, right? So even though there's this technical component, SEO is marketing. You need to be coming up with ideas. Like when I talk about keyword research, for example, a lot of people are like, okay, we get our competitors, we plug them in the tools, we get the keywords that we're not ranking for, and we go after. That is a valid approach. However, this should not be your only approach, because if you're copying what your competitors are doing, you're always going to come second, and you're limited by what they do. Sometimes they're picking topics that may resonate for some reason with their product. For example, a SaaS company is your competitor, but maybe they notice that their SaaS works better for small businesses, which is not the case for you. So they go after that segment and you're just copying them. So you need to have your own thing. You need to understand the customer and understand that this is marketing. So yeah, it's a mindset shift, right? And I feel there's a lot of that going on right now. Like because I give a lot of live sessions, I feel engage a lot with people, and I see there's a lot of interest in understanding what's new, what's happening, how should we adapt, right? The level of SEOs I meet today is by no way comparable to what we talked to 3-4 years ago. Very different, very, very mature, very, very hands-on with a lot of advanced tactics. So it looks good. the level of expertise right now is really good, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. That's, I feel like, people are really understanding the importance of SEO these days, like even smaller businesses. And it's good that the field is growing to accommodate, that interest in SEO, and it seems like people are kind of starting to understand the importance of like hiring a good SEO as opposed to, like just relying on like Ahrefs or like ChatGPT to get and guesswork to get their efforts right.
Yeah.
So one of the challenges in SEO is creating content that resonates with both search engines and human readers. I'm sure you see this a lot with your clients you work with, and that people are kind of writing content more to in hopes of, cheating in a way the search engine ranking system. What's your advice for creating content that achieves like a balance between the two?
Okay, so Google always says create helpful content, and this advice cannot be more unhelpful, actually.
Yeah.
Because you can create helpful content in so many ways, but helpful content for their algorithm means specific things we haven't figured out yet, because their understanding of what's helpful is based off a lot of machine learning and user analyzing how user engage and interact online, right? Which is different than how people read a book, for example. So we're trying to figure out what does that mean for them. I think right now there's a lot of shift, and in like a lot of people complaining about Reddit, for example, showing up everywhere, Quora, and LLMs and all that sort of thing. And I think what we need to, we are very good at being dramatic and complaining. Things are taking chipping away from our search share, but what we need to understand, what is happening, why is this change happening, and I do random searches a lot. Like sometimes I just I'm watching a show or something, and then I search or something pop on my random stuff, literally random stuff. So there's a huge percentage. A lot of the searches on Google are very low search volume. We are very obsessed with search volume. Our clients are very obsessed with search volume, but users are not. And that's why Reddit is basically ranking, right?
Yeah.
Because people just post, and a lot of people engage on their posts as well, even though there is no search volume for maybe that specific query. So what I would say is, the bar for creating content is high right now, and it's going to keep getting higher, because if something AI can generate, you definitely not going to pay for it for a copywriter. So subject matter experts and really, really good copywriters definitely are part of my recommendation. I know it's easier said than done, because then there's a lot of cost behind it. Okay, here's a good example I gave, and it really resonated. As an SEO expert, Would you rather read an article by a generalist copywriter about SEO tips in 2025 or by an SEO expert, or any expert? Obviously, this article by a general copywriter who's not an SEO expert is just going to be, you know, very generic, rehashing what they find here and there, versus someone who understands really SEO and can give their own insights in what they noticed, right? So that's the direction we're going towards, and we're going to be very conversational, very, very detailed. The same way we're talking here, if you take this and script and convert it to an article, it may have a good, actually, potential into ranking, versus if we thought about the same topic, maybe with, you know, keywords, PAAs, and all these things here and there.
Yeah, no, I think that's such a good point, because I do content marketing, and I feel like I've seen a lot of people say we don't need a content marketer anymore because we, you know, can just use AI to generate all of our content and articles and ebooks, and we'll just rely on that. I think it's good you're, you know, advocating for like not just relying on, you know, the AI tools out there now to replace jobs entirely. I mean, even with SEO too, I've seen that, like, you know, people saying they're just going to ask their SEO questions to ChatGPT and go from there. So it's good to see we're, you know, kind of aligned in the same wavelength in terms of AI. And I guess, like, you know, kind of piggybacking off of that, like, what would you say to people who, you know, want to entirely replace their content and SEO needs with artificial intelligence?
No, that's really not, it's cheaper, right? But yeah. I don't think this is a good strategy or a good approach. Maybe content, maybe you may get some traffic in the beginning, but then you're going to get hit like everyone else who, you know, was going heavy on AI content that was not reviewed or did not have human contribution. The effort put into content is a measure of quality. So obviously, yep. if you can create it by a click of a button, it's not that difficult. And I don't think it's going to be able to compete. If you're doing this, anyone can do it. Anyone can up you, actually, right?
Right.
So that's that. And then the role of an SEO, generally speaking, I don't see ChatGPT replacing that, because ChatGPT is going to be spitting out very generic things, very, you know, basic things. I wouldn't say very advanced. And ChatGPT is like driving a car. You need to know how to drive. So it's not just like, you know, throwing there and expecting the right output. It can actually give you wrong things. I use ChatGPT a lot. Like I use it a lot in my work. A lot of the things I use it for is rephrasing things for me to deliver to the client, elaborate more. Sometimes I'm not wordy enough. Like I don't have enough words to say what I want to say. So I'm like, okay, this is what I want to say, elaborate, or that sort of thing. And then I edit that. So I use it a lot, and I encourage people to use it a lot. This is definitely, you know, the modern tools. You need to adapt. You need to leverage what all the efficient, they're going to help you be more efficient, right? But I don't think they can replace an SEO. The more I use them, actually, the more I see why they can't.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of misinformation that I've seen as well. Definitely, I think at the very minimum requires like an expert to review the content that it's, you know, giving you, or the answers that it's giving you.
You know, it's like, okay, using ChatGPT cannot make you create, like yesterday's dinner was courtesy of ChatGPT. Okay.
That's awesome.
Okay. It's awesome because you can, like, it understands the basics. Okay. What if I have this ingredient? How does it fit? Does it fit or not? I still had to double check that this recipe is okay, because I was like, I'm not cooking something for my kids and then maybe they don't like it. Like, we don't know. Yeah. Maybe I'm not feeding them hallucinations tonight. So, right. But it can help you, but it's not going to make you a chef, right?
No.
Like, it's going to help you, yeah, do basic stuff, like, yeah, good meal, but definitely not a chef, right? And yeah, like, if you're a beginner in the kitchen or not very, you know, advanced, yeah, it's going to give you ideas and help you find things to do. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like more as like a starting point, and then you need to use your own expertise and decision making to go from there.
It helps with things that, for example, how much to put this in the air fryer on what temperature. It can make a good guess based off all the, knowledge out there. So yeah, things that can be helpful as well.
So it's kind of shifting from AI, and thinking of, scale, more scaling for businesses that are just getting started with SEO. What do you think are the first key steps that they should focus on?
If I'm taking on a new client, first of all, I want to meet with them. I have a small questionnaire, and I'm not a fan of, like, obviously listen to everything the client says, but you need to be able to pull the exact things you need, because sometimes clients overshare. Like, I've seen clients share why they started their business. That's okay. That's okay. I'm not against that, but you need to be able to just focus on what you need. So have some sort of things you make sure you get, and then the first thing I would do is always a SWOT analysis, because you need to understand what is the strength of this business, what is the weakness, what are the opportunities out there, the competitor landscape, what are we most worried about, what are the most challenging things or threats. Once you have this, it will help you shape your strategy. If you can build on what's strong, and then you start address the weaknesses, there's an opportunities you go after, of course, and try to prioritize based on how they can help you with your business goals. There are threats, then these are things you need to manage throughout, right?
I think that's such a good starting place. I mean, you want to figure out, what differentiates the business from its competitors, and, be able to effectively translate that through SEO efforts.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
So for SEO, scaling SEO efforts across large websites or teams can be, really daunting. What's your advice for maintaining focus and efficiency during the process?
Okay, use automations as much as possible, right? Without sacrificing the integrity of your recommendations. You're not trying to just pump them out, but use automations when possible. Always QA. And then a discussion I had one time with another SEO is, we want to crawl a website. If it's gigantic, why are we crawling the entire website at a time? Maybe we can just crawl a subfolder for now. Right, like divide that. Why? Maybe the most important section first. Let's say the product or bottom of funnel pages. These are usually away from the blog, so maybe we go after this section first. Maybe so. Divide this in a way that makes sense, and maybe like divide and conquer versus, hey, I want to crawl the entire website. I want to do that. I mean, even when you're doing keyword research, I don't understand why people need to do keyword research and get 100 topics right now. Are you going to execute on them, right? I mean, if you are, that's a different conversation, but most probably you're not, and you want to have a long-term plan of content. Okay, I understand that, but you're putting a lot of effort to make all the decisions right now in this small time frame, and you're going to need to adapt definitely along the way. Businesses change their plans all the time. Hey, this is the feature we're pushing right now versus what they were pushing in the past. We're going after startups versus small businesses right now. So we need to, regroup and redo things again. So I don't like the concept that we have to make a lot of decisions in a very small, big decisions, long-term decisions in a very small amount of time, because you're not making the best. So yeah,
Yeah, and you
just divide
can't tackle
things.
everything at once.
Yes, exactly. Think in quarters or sprints or whatever works.
It's a long, I feel like SEO is like kind of more a long-term approach. It's not something you can do overnight, and getting, clients and businesses to realize that is important.
Sure.
So the SEO landscape, we've talked about needing to be agile and nimble, and having the ability to pivot at any time, really. Since the landscape is constantly evolving, how can businesses stay ahead of things like algorithm updates and, shifting trends?
Yeah, we have a tendency in SEO to kill everything. Something is dead. Something is dead. All the time. And then I'm a big fan of being open to new ideas and new approaches. But let's not forget that We don't want to optimize for something that's not there yet, right? Like right now, Google is still the main source of traffic. LLMs are great, but they're not driving traffic a lot right now. They're not driving much right now, right? So yes, we want to have part of our strategy to future-proof whatever we're doing, but our focus is still, we don't want to lose sight of this. My advice is just to be open to any new approaches, test things out, maybe on a page or two, not necessarily on the entire website. A lot of people are, or some people are very attached to this, the current tactics, which I understand. We've been doing the same things for so long. But as I said, it's marketing, and marketing is not math. Like 1 + 1 = 2 forever. That's never going to change. Yeah. Marketing is not the case. Things change. So it's just a different mindset, being more open to testing things. And please don't say, no one is doing this, or our competitors aren't doing this. Why are we doing it? Because you want to do first. You want to be first, right? You want to lead the creativity versus just follow. What's the point if you're doing it after everyone else is? It's probably very late.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I really like your thinking of like doing like a small sample set first and seeing how like that works before, you know, tackling all the other web pages.
I like to reduce the risk of anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, the last thing you want to do is do something that caused harm to your website.
Oh, like, absolutely. Yeah.
Exactly. You do need your job after all, and your reputation as an SEO as well. So just try to be very, very careful if you're trying something new, and be very transparent that it's new. And if you think there is any risk, you should be transparent, but you need to minimize any risks, right?
Right. Absolutely. Well, Sarah, this has been such a valuable conversation. I think the audience today will definitely find all of these insights very useful, especially, you know, those who are just getting started with SEO, or if they aren't happy with their current, you know, SEO strategy and are looking for change and how to maximize it. Where can our listeners connect with you if they want to learn more about your services and or access any of your resources?
Yeah, they can visit my website and sign up for my newsletter, sarah-tohar.com.
Awesome.
And then also on LinkedIn, I think you're going to share the link, right? So they can follow me also on LinkedIn. Yep.
Okay, cool. LinkedIn sounds good. Thank you for so much for joining us today and sharing your expertise again. For our listeners, if you enjoyed today's conversation, don't forget to subscribe to the Unmissed podcast, leave a review, and connect with Sarah to elevate your SEO game. This has been the Unmissed podcast, and we'll see you guys next time.